Stop what you're doing.
Stop right there.
Okay.
Let's go. You're now tuned into the hottest show on the planet, The Smith Express Show.
Yo, what's poppin'? What's poppin'? It's your boy Smith. We here live on The Smith Express Show. You feel me? Definitely another dope interview coming right now. Got the partner Cypher Sick. You feel me? Definitely been on the grind. It's only right I get him on the show popping shit. You feel me? What's popping, my dude?
Man, Chris, what's the word? You already know. 43rd's Apex Predator had to tap in. It's a pleasure to be here, man.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Definitely honored, bro. You feel me? So, look, hey, let's get straight into it. You know what I'm saying? You go by the name Cypher Sick. Is there a specific meaning behind it?
Yeah, actually, so my original name was just Cypher, mainly because that's how I got introduced to hip-hop. I grew up in the rap cyphers, like at school, in the lunchroom, you know, from beating on the tables, beatboxing, making the grind and beat by the clips to, you know, everything else, to doing it actually outside, you know what I'm saying, on the street corners and the trap. Just pretty much everywhere me and my homies were, me and the bros were, we just used to, you know, be in the cypher. And then my big brother, he actually was the one who really pushed me into the hip-hop wave. And me and him used to cypher all the time when I stayed with him. So that name just kind of stuck. And then the sick part was given to me by the fans, actually people who were fans of what I was doing. Because every time I would spit in a cypher, or even if they heard something I recorded, I would get the same reaction, yo. It would never be like, oh, that was hard, man, that was cold, that was hot. They would always say the word sick. Like, specifically, they'd always say sick. So I just kind of took that and, you know, added it to the name because that's what the reaction I was always getting.
That's dope. That's dope, man. So, like, you know what I mean? You've been doing a music thing for a while, correct?
Yeah, I've been doing it for about 15 years now, about half my life, man.
Oh, that's what's up. So, look, hey, what was some of your inspiration? What made you want to pick up a pen and pad, write, and do music?
I mean, honestly, it was my environment, man, and the people in it. Like I said, me and the bros, we grew up doing the cyphers thing all the time, man. Hip-hop cyphers, freestyling, just freestyle rapping was just our thing. But they also wrote, and they were doing it way before me. So most of my homies was rapping by the age of 8 or 9. They was already into it. But I used to just help them come up with hooks and concepts. And then when I met my brother, like, he was such a prolific lyricist. His artist name is Jay Alias. He was such a prolific lyricist, man. It just inspired me to sit down one day and be like, man, I think I could do that. Because I was always good at writing, like, stories and poetry and just good with a pen. Anything that had to do with, you know, writing or literature, I was always good with that in school. So I said, you know what? Let me sit down and see if I could do this. So I was about 14 years old, and it was the summer right before my freshman year of high school. I sat down at my grandma's dining room table, wrote my first 16 bars, and I just kept going from there, man. Like, I just fell in love with this shit, man. It just became infectious. I can't even explain it no other way. Hip-hop just kind of grabbed a hold of me, man, and it just never let me go after that. So I just kept penning and kept recording and started performing, and just, you know, here I am 15 years later, man.
That's dope. Hey, 15 years, definitely a long time. Definitely been putting in work. I salute you on that for never giving up, you know what I'm saying, or walking away from the craft. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what's your take from, you know what I'm saying, hip-hop has changed, or they say it's changed every 5 years. What's your take on how hip-hop has changed from then to now?
I mean, honestly, I think from when I first fell in love with hip-hop, the major difference is we're kind of spinning the block on literacy. Like, for many years, it just hasn't been a lot of people who focused on literacy. It was always about just making catchy songs, you know what I'm saying? Stuff that was more industry-centered and driven, like, okay, this would be dope in the club, this would be dope on the radio. But it was just no real lyrical thought process put into it. I'm like, man, y'all can make them kind of records and still put some kind of thought into it, because that's what I love about hip-hop, is the lyrical aspect of it. It's a sport. And I think that's what's been changed, is that we went through all those years of kind of like the mumble rap and the bubblegum type rap, as they call it, man, and just the kiddie rap, the ABC rhymes, man. And now we're getting back to that era where real literacy and pain music and putting your emotions and your experiences into lyrical form and putting it into musical form is spinning the block. So it's like the perfect time for somebody like me to be going as hard as I'm going now, because even though I've been doing it for 15 years, there was a nice period of time where I took a break because I just didn't feel like it was a part for me in the culture no more, because they weren't really, you know, big enough rappers that did what I was doing. So I think that's the biggest change, is that it's coming back to, it's our time now, it's my time now. You know what I'm talking about?
That's dope. You know what I'm saying? And I definitely agree, because, like, what, 15 years ago, it was what, that snap pop music. Everybody had to make a dance to their music in order to get any type of recognition or play, especially radio play. You feel me?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. So, like, you know what I'm saying? With that being said, you know what I'm saying? Are you your project? You released an album, 43rd. Oh, what's the concept of that? Like, who produced some of the features you got on there? And, like, just in general, how did that album come about?
Okay, well, 43rd was a project that I have been wanting to do for some time. It's actually the second piece of an interconnected story through the three EPs that I dropped last year. That was the second one. The first one was My Time. That was completely produced by super producer Two Official. So salute to bro, man. And 43rd has several producers. Henny on the Rocks, which is my cousin, he produced several of the tracks on there, including my two singles, City Life and Weirdo Activity, which are both on Power 92, My Radio Chicago, and several other radio stations right now. I also have production from Smooth produced this. He's an up-and-coming producer down in Atlanta, who's tapped in with a lot of heavies in Atlanta, man. A lot of legends like Zaytoven and a couple other people down there that's doing their thing. He tapped in with some people from QC and everything. So salute to Smooth producers. He was the one that produced Weirdo Activity. I'm sorry. He produced my second single off 43rd. And the way that whole project came together was that I wanted to create that next piece of the story that kind of spent the block and gave some of the origins of where I come from, where I got my moral compass from, where I got my personality from, and what inspired me for hip hop. Because everything, like I said earlier, everything in my environment is what made me want to do this. So not just the people in it, but the things I saw growing up in the hood, growing up on the low end. Like, I'm from 43rd, I'm from 43rd Street, from, you know, from the low end, from State to the Lake, but specifically from Cottage Grove to the lakefront was the park that I was on the most. And just everything I saw over there, it just made me who I am. Like, no lie, to this day, when I go down there, I just feel different. Like, the energy hit different when I'm down there in the hood. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm at home, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm at perfect peace, which is crazy considering all the times I had while I had to go to war down there. So that's pretty much all those emotions and those memories is what that album is consistent of. And it also has pieces of where I am today mixed in with it as well. So...
I definitely salute you. You know what I'm saying? Any parts of Chicago, especially in the late 90s, 2000s era, was definitely rough. You feel me? Facts, definitely wasn't a part of walking apart. So, hey, let's play a game, bro. I'm going to name a couple songs from you. And then, you know what I'm saying? You just tell me the history of it. What was the like making of it? And, like, you know what I'm saying? The whole concept. You dig?
Okay, yeah, let's get it.
All right, for sure. The first song that I think is dope by you is the Back Like We Never Left. Like, you know what I'm saying? It featured the dude, you know what I'm saying, the homie Ace G, M.I.E. You know what I'm saying? What was it like making that song? How did that song come about? Who produced it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Salute to my boy Ace G. I meant to say he was one of the features on 43rd as well. He's on that track Survivor. But yeah, for Back Like We Never Left, man, that was produced by my engineer Skills on the beat, man. Salute to him. That's the guy who I started doing this with. He, to this day, that's who I record with 97% of the time. And he produced that track. That was actually a song that came together with me trying to just test Ace. I was trying to give him something different to play with, like a different type of sound and a faster paced flow, because he usually had the slow, more methodical flow with the bars, you know what I'm saying, dropping the lyrics and the drug bars, you know what I'm saying, and just putting his pain into the music. So I wanted to test him, and I wanted to just, you know, make him a little more versatile. So I was like, look, we're going to do this type of record. It's not a drill record, quote unquote, but it's close to that tempo. It's close to that sound. So I said, all right, let's rock out with it, but do it the way you and me would do it. And we just went to the studio one night, and I mean, man, bro, we just had like a long session with Skills on the beat, and we put that record together, bro. And we made it short on purpose because we wanted to have it be replayable. We didn't want to do like a 3-4 minute song. This time, like, nah, we're going to do a song that's almost like an interlude, but it's going to be so hard, they ain't got no choice but to keep replaying it. They like, man, I want to hit this again. I want to hit this again. And then we did the video for it, which is on YouTube right now, man. People can go stream that, watch that, and share that. And that's just the history of that record right there, man. So salute to Skills on the Beat and salute to HGMIE.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Salute to HG. So, hey, another track you got. It's called Membership with the partner Corrupt. Salute to Corrupt. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
How did that song come about? Like, as far as like the feature, the history on it, the who produced it?
Right. So that track is produced by Platinum plaque having producer Anna Domini Beats. I think I'm saying that right. I might be saying that wrong, but I know Anna Domini has done like tracks for many people in the industry. I'm talking about like people that are on the same level as Corrupt from his era all the way to the most current era. So I ended up getting that feature through another person I was networking with. There's a consulting company on the East Coast called Infinity Management Solutions and Consulting. They actually worked with somebody who was very close to Corrupt. And one day I was doing a live with them and I was just letting them hear some of my records. And they was like, okay, if you play 2 or 3 songs that we like, then I'm going to connect you with a major feature. I got something big that I think you'll like. So I say, okay, I played one song. I played this track off 43rd. Actually, it's the first track, Rancid Blunts. I played that track. They never got to the second or third track. They fell in love with what I was doing and my style. And they ended up connecting me with that feature. And then send me over, you know, the paperwork and everything to make sure I could get that, you know, make it legit, make sure I got him on my publishing, make sure I was on his publishing. And then once they cleared the record, man, we was just off to the races. And it was a blessing, man. I can't even say much more about it other than the fact that it fell in my lap. I never would expect that to happen. But it was a dope thing for it to come together. And the concept was just about, you know, membership has its perks, Chris. You know what I'm saying? When you one of the members, you in the gang life, man, whether you a Crip, whether you a Blood, whether you GD, BD, whatever you are, when you a member, it has its perks, man. So once you caught up in that, man, this shit is for life. And whether you an active member or inactive member, it's always going to be a part of your story and always be a part of your personality and narrative.
No doubt. You know what I'm saying? That track was definitely fire. You feel me? Shout out to the homie Corrupt. You know what I'm saying? But buddy definitely been getting it in for a minute.
Yes, sir. That's a legend, man. I'm honored to have my first. And that's my first industry feature. And I'm just honored to have it with a rap legend and a gangster rap legend. You know what I'm talking about?
That's dope. The last track, you know what I'm talking about, I checked out was fucking fire. Is the Radio Bounce track. How did that song come about?
Man, Radio Bounce came about, once again, that's produced by Skills on the Beat, man. I'm telling you, Skills, like, one of the best kept secrets in this city. He done produced for Louis, Chella H, man, Sasha Gohar, Katie Got Band, so many dope artists. So I came in the studio with him one day, and I said, bro, I need a record for the radio and the club to capture that energy that, you know, everybody kind of going crazy over right now. The Big Boogie energy, the baby energy, like that with them claps and that real high tempo, something that the ladies in the club can dance to, shake to, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to just bring that energy. So we sat there and I told him the idea I had for the beat and he just created it, man. Like he took it, the idea straight out of my head and just made that track, man. And man, I wrote it. I probably wrote that song really quick. I want to say I probably wrote that at least within like 20 minutes. And it was easy because it was technically a remake of a song that me and him did years ago. We had already made a song called Radio, and it just never got released. I only did it one time at a show in South Dakota, and that's back when we were still using CDs, you feel me? Like, we didn't even have, we didn't even have all the technology we had. This is like 2011, so we still using CDs, you feel me? So I only had a copy of it on the CD. I went out to South Dakota to Sturgis by Mount Rushmore. I had a show out there. And I lost the CD, man, and I didn't have no more copies of the song, and his computer crashed, so we lost the sessions. So I wanted to recreate that energy because I remember the chicks out there in South Dakota was loving that shit, bro. They was shaking to it in the club out there, and I was like, man, I want to bring that energy back, but make it more modern because I felt like that sound would would really resonate right now. And I had him incorporate music theory into it. I wanted him to put certain tones and frequencies inside of the track that would, you know, innately make the women want to just shake. It's just involuntary. When they hear it, they can't help but move. You know what I'm talking about? So that just turned up the show every time I do that record, man. So salute the skills on the beat, man. One of the best in the game, man.
That's dope. Hey, you know what I'm saying? I see you. You know what I'm saying? You definitely worked with a lot of people, legends, up and coming artists, dope artists, lyrical artists, all that. Is there like what's some of your dream features you'd like to see happen that hasn't happened already?
Oh man, yeah, dope question. I mean, it's so many, but if I had to just pick some people off the top of my head right now, definitely Jeezy, because young Jeezy, his music motivated me and inspired me to just survive life, let alone to keep rapping, let alone to keep being a hustler and making money. His music survived me. I mean, it inspired me to just survive. I feel like a lot of the stuff I navigated in this life, you know, with my time in my youth trapping and just doing things in the streets, if I hadn't been listening to him, I probably wouldn't have made it as long as I did. So I feel like doing a song with him would be so important, just because, I mean, he was the soundtrack to my life. Out of all the rappers I was listening to back then, he was the main one that was the soundtrack to my life, man. It was so much stuff he said in his songs that I learned lessons and got gems on how to move in the streets with certain things, and it actually worked. So it wasn't just entertainment. It was educational for me. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely want to do a feature with him. I want to do a feature with Dave East, because I feel like he's like that modern-day version of Jeezy for me. A lot of the stuff over the last few years that he done put out has also motivated and inspired me to keep going, not just in music, but also in life. And he dropped a lot of gems as well. And just and the same thing, because he was so close to Nipsey, and Nipsey was big on, you know, generational wealth and educating yourself and financial literacy. Like, they all in that same pocket. So I would want to do a feature with Dave East, because he embodies everything that Nipsey used to talk about, because they were so close. And then as far as like closer to the city, closer to home, man, I definitely want to do a feature with Shauna, you know, the queen of Chicago hip hop, man, a legend in her own right, man, because she actually knew who I was the first time I met her at a show I did with Power 92. And when I say, man, she bowed to me and gave me the sensei bow, it almost brought me to tears, because she's a prolific lyricist, a platinum plaque recording artist, you know what I'm saying? And she done toured the world, you know what I'm saying? And she's a legend. And for her to acknowledge me like that, based off my craft, man, meant everything to me, especially with me being a hip-hop head. So I would love to cook with her and just make some legendary music, bring back that energy her and Luda used to have when they was on all them records back in the DTP era.
That's fire. I could definitely see, you know what I'm saying, with your style of flow, you know what I'm saying, the beast choices and everything. I can see those collaborations happening. So, look, hey, you traveling the States to perform, what state or what city shows the most love every time you rock the stage?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. The city that shows the most love since I've been going on tour and out of state has been Indiana, man. Gary and Maryville, they like right on the border of each other. So once you go to one, you can take a hop and a skip and you in the other. So I've done tons of shows in Gary, Indiana. I've done equal amount of shows in Maryville, Indiana, and they always turn up for me, man. Like, they resonate with the Chicago sound because they're so close to us. That, you know, it's like a 40-minute drive, 20-minute drive, depending on what side of the city. If you live on the east side, it's probably like 20-minute drive because you're close to Torrance. So just that, those cities, and even Hammond, too. So I say Hammond, Gary, and Maryville. I bucket all three of those together. They really just, man, they feed me. When I'm on stage, they feed me the energy, and then I feed it back to them, and they feed it back to me. It's like a reciprocal thing the entire time that I'm rocking out on stage, man. And the DJs out there, it's nuts, man. I'm talking about DJ KC's up from Power 92. Salute to him. DJ Ty, you know, Keisha Cautious, all the Fleet DJs, the Indiana Fleet DJs, they've been rocking with me and spinning my records in the club and just pushing my brand all 2023. So I just appreciate them. I think they showed me the most love show out of everywhere I've been so far.
That's what's up. So when performing, what songs do your fans expect you to perform that fuck up the club every time?
The main ones is the singles, man, typically. So it'll typically be City Life, which is my single off of 43rd, and Weirdo Activity, definitely, because that song has become like a whole trending topic, because it's people on Facebook and social media that hashtag Weirdo Activity all the time. Whenever something weird, when somebody do something weird, they see something that's weird to them, and they classify it as weirdo activity. They I coined that phrase, so they got that for me. So they always want to hear that song because that song is just turned. I got like so much energy when I perform it. And then definitely now Radio Bounce. I would absolutely say Radio Bounce for sure, for sure. All the women want to hear Radio Bounce because, you know, they want to shake their ass. They want to turn it up. They came out for it. They came out to have drinks and shake that ass. So that's the one they be requesting too.
That's dope. That's dope, man. Hey, so you know what I'm saying? Before we even go on, definitely shout out your social media and how people could get a hold of you. You know what I'm saying? In case they want to collab or something.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Appreciate it. So y'all can reach me everywhere on all social media and streaming platforms at Cypher Sick. That's CYPHERSICK. One word. And you can also check out my website, which is www.cyphersick.com. You can also contact me through the site as well.
That's what's up. So, like, let me ask you this. When was it, like, do you remember that one moment where, like, yo, I made it type of thing, like, type of feel? You know what I'm saying? Was there a specific moment where, you know what I'm saying, you'd be like, yo, this is what I was born to do. I actually made it type shit, that joy, success type feel that overcame you? Like, do you remember that special moment?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to say the first time I had that feeling was last April. Because I've had that feeling a couple times, but the very first time is last April. I went out to Phoenix. It was my first time in Phoenix, Arizona. And I did a show with Project Pat, Beads, and Sean Dale of Power 92. And just pulling up to the club, I pulled up in a Porsche and just sat by the front door smoking and with the lights on, with the car running, and everybody like, man, who is that? And then I finally get out the car and I walk up to the club. They like, oh, that's Cypher. And literally the security didn't even search us. Like me and my guys in the car, they literally didn't search us for weapons, for nothing. They already knew who I was. They knew I was in the part of the entertainment for the night. They seen me pull up in the Panamera and they like, hey, let him through. And they let us through. And then when I got in there, man, Sean Deal, I'm asking him like, yo, how much for one of these sections? I was going to pay for a section. He's like, pay for one. He's like, nigga, I'm going to give you one. What you mean? So he gave me one of the best sections in the whole club. And man, bro, did he just fill my table with food? We got bottle service. We got everything. They gave me the whole VIP treatment and treated me like I was Project Pat. You know what I'm saying? He was not too far across from me. And then Paris Bueller was actually to the left of me. His section was to the left of me. So salute to Project Pat and Paris Bueller. But yeah, man, it was just that treatment. To give me that star treatment like that, I felt like I already had a deal. I felt like I already had $1 million. And then on top of that, when I got on stage and rocked out, man, DJ KC's a killed my set, made me really, really, really look and sound like a top-tier artist, and that was the same reaction I got from the crowd and from Project Pat and from Paris Bueller, which are two respected legends in the industry. So to have them give me that feedback, to have the fans at the event give me the feedback, and just the overall treatment that I got at the venue, man, I was like, yeah, I made it, man. This is what I was meant to do, and I want this for the rest of my life.
That's dope. That's dope. You know what I'm saying? Hey, because you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna hold you too long, but just one last question. For those that is tuning in, you know what I'm saying, and they trying to accomplish some of the great things you've accomplished, you got any encouraging words?
Yeah, absolutely, man. The main encouraging word I could give is to never give up, man. Run this marathon till it's finished. And I know that sounds taboo. I know it sounds cliche, but that's real. That's real spiel because why would you give up today when tomorrow could be the day that you get on? The only thing you need to do is be serious about your business, get your paperwork straight, make sure your songs are copywritten, registered, like you and me were talking about earlier before the show, make sure you get your name trademarked and just everything you need. Educate yourself on the business so that it can further motivate you not want to give up, because once all your paperwork's straight, and you getting paid on the back end and the front end for shows, and you ain't got to worry about nobody stealing your records or your name because everything is protected, registered and trademarked, copywritten and all that good shit. Man, you off to the races because you got everything that the major artists got. The only thing you missing is the label at that point. So that would be my best advice and encouraging words, man.
That's what's up. That's dope. That's dope, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Cypher Sick. You know what I'm saying? You just released a project last month, the Legion joint. You know what I'm saying? Just plug that. Let everybody know where they could cop it. You know what I'm saying? Shout out your social media again. You know what I'm saying? In case they want to reach out, chop it up with you. You know what I'm saying?
For sure, for sure. Yeah, love. So, yeah, I just dropped the Legion of Doom. It's my collaboration EP with Henny on the Rocks, man. It is 97% produced by Henny on the Rocks. There's only one track he didn't do, and that one was done by DJ Cornbread of the Fleet DJs. Man, y'all can find that on all streaming platforms. Anywhere where you can stream your favorite artist's music is there. So make sure y'all go cop that. I got vinyls on the way soon, so stay in tune with me and watch the website, because I'll be updating my website with the vinyls pretty soon. And, man, like I said, y'all can follow me everywhere at CYPHERSICK, and definitely check out the website once again and stay in tune. That's cyphersick.com, www.CYPHERSICK.com. Let's get it. 23rd, stand up.
Bet it up, bro. Definitely honored to have you on the show, my dude.
Man, it's an honor to be here, man. I was really excited about this interview, and I appreciate you, Chris, man. Keep elevating, man. You on the top 10 list, man. Let's get it, man.
Good looking, yo. Let's get it. Yeah.
Yes, sir.